This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
My switch is on. My voice is on. My pants are pulled up. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I guess I didn't do a sound check this morning, did I? Shame on me. I'm sorry. I should have done a sound check. So sound check, 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 mic check. I can't tell if the reason my hands are shaking so bad is because I'm nervous and y'all are staring at me and, you know, that kind of stuff, or because I took Excedrin migraine this morning, so my caffeine level is through the roof. My sensitivities to caffeine are crazy. I never drank coffee until a long time back. A long time ago, I didn't, and then I started, and I drank like one cup a day, and that one cup of caffeine just shoots me to the moon. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe you do like 50 cups a day and are still... My name is Jason. Hal is not here today. If this is your first Sunday, and I'll get to this in just a moment, I have a fancy little card I'm going to talk to visitors about in just a moment, but this is your first Sunday. Our pastor, our leader, our shepherd is in Puerto Rico. Flew out this morning, early this morning. I got a text from him just landing. He is at a conference this week in Puerto Rico. My name is Jason, and he allows me every once in a while to get into the pulpit and preach and talk and speak, and I am grateful for that. What I would like to do, though, before I get to the Connect card and all that, is to pray for Hal. He is a part of a conference this week on church planting down in Puerto Rico, and so I would like to lift him up and his family that is obviously still here. Pray over them as well. Would you bow with me, and let's lift our pastor up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Hal's passion to grow the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for his passion to be a part of church planting and the growth of all of that and what that looks like in general, specifically in the Vineyard movement, but in general as well. And so we just pray your blessing, your favor over him this week as he is in Puerto Rico being a part of this conference. Father, that he would be blessed while he is there and that he would be a blessing. We just speak that over him, and safe travels home at the end of the conference. We pray over his wife, Dawn, and his family here, that all would go well, and Lord, that you would protect them as well. It's often hard to leave and go away to these conferences and know that our families are back here, but Father, you're in charge, and that's great, and we appreciate that, and we're believing for great things to happen down there as well as up here. So we pray your blessing over Dawn and the family here as well. In your name we pray. Amen. In the back of the seats in front of you, if it is your first time here, there are Connect cards, guest cards. If you would be willing, we would appreciate you taking out one of those from the seat in front of you and filling that out. You are more than welcome to drop those in the black boxes as you go out either of these door areas in here. Drop that in, and we appreciate that information. If you would like to have a little more information than down the road a little bit, there is a tent outside. You can take that guest card to the tent, and they will answer your questions and give you a t-shirt and all that kind of great stuff. But would you please do that if it is your first time, or maybe your second or third time and you've just not done it yet, or maybe you've been gone for quite a while and have returned back. We would encourage you to take that and fill that out as well. Let us know where you're at. I am going to continue today in the Matthew series. Jesus is It is the title of the series. Hal is going through the book of Matthew and has asked me to continue on with that. And so in a moment, we will be turning into Matthew chapter 9. My earliest memory of fasting, would be elementary lunch. Now, that may sound kind of funny, And in the moments, I didn't think it was very funny, as did not the lunch lady who asked me why I didn't have any lunch. My parents got saved when I was 2-3 years old. They were not believers, and I was born in 1969, and so it was the late 60s and early 70s with the Jesus movement and the charismatic movement and all that, and my parents got saved in that time and took it very seriously. One of those things was we were going to fast. And so here I am, a little kid, and my parents explaining to me what fasting is and reading in the Bible, and so this particular day, my mom had me fasting, and so I didn't have a lunch. Now my parents asked me to do it, and all that's fine, and all the other little kids were eating their potato chips and their whatever Scooby snacks and all that kind of great stuff, and I had nothing. And the lunch lady came and said, why do you not have a lunch? Jason, you don't have a lunch today? And, well, I am fasting for the Lord. That didn't go over so well. And once she got past the idea that I was not being flippant or whatever with her, that it was a reality, I think that there was an alerting of the office and a phone call home to my mom who tried to explain why this was happening. That is my earliest memory, is as a little elementary kid practicing fasting as a family, and so therefore not having a lunch. As it turns out, that's not child abuse. I know in today's age they may think that, but I am very grateful to my parents for the godly home that they raised me in, and I could miss a couple lunches here and there, maybe not completely understanding it as a little kid, but I'm very grateful for the environment that they raised me in. When my wife and I pastored a church a few years ago, we would have a church-wide fast for the first 21 days of the year. And we would prep the congregation, and we would talk about all the different things, and we would get them ready for this. And then as a congregation, we would fast for 21 days to begin the new year. And I remember we had a family that was new to the church, and they were a young family, a mom and a dad and two little kids, and they were new to Christ, and they didn't really, never had fasted before, and were really kind of unsure about this whole 21-day thing, and blah, 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 blah. But the mom of the family decided that she herself was going to fast from TV for 21 days, and so was going to turn the TV off in the home and have the family fast for 21 days. I remember her coming to me at the end of all of that and saying, it was really a great thing, and we learned some really great things as a family. She said, but the bottom line is it was staggering to me how often we just had the TV on in our home, just as constant, constant, constant. We weren't even watching it. She said, but when we turned that off for 21 days, she said, so if I come out of this with nothing else, no spiritual deepness. She said, if all I come out with the knowledge of, man, the TV dominated our home. And she said, and Pastor, that's going to stop. We are going to back that down tremendously as a family and not be enslaved to that. Fasting. It's not specifically what this message is about today. It is going to be a part of it. First of all, does everyone have their notes? Everyone have their notes? You'll see on the back, you'll see 6 points. Those 6 points are going to be way at the end of my message. I'm going to go through them very quickly because this message today, Jesus is it, and this Matthew passage that you're going to read out of Matthew 9 is going to be about a new and an old. New cloth and old cloth, new wine and old wineskins and stuff like that. We're going to talk about what Jesus was talking about, but the bottom line is he was asked a question about fasting. And so when we get down to the end of the message, on the back, there are going to be six. So don't, we're going to run through the front, and you're going to be like, come on, Jason, hurry, because we got a lot on the back to go over, and man, time's ticking. I'm not going to spend a ton of, this is not a message or a series about fasting. This is a message, a series about Jesus. If you would open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 9. It will come up here on the screen. I am reading out of the New Living Translation. Four verses, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to continue on then in the book of Matthew and the series, Jesus is It. Starting with verse number 14, out of the New Living Translation. One day, The disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees?" Verse number 15, and Jesus said to them, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Verse number 16. "Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." Verse 17. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you will speak through me today through your word. These four verses that we have just read, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, his speaking to the idea of fasting, his speaking to the idea of old cloth and new wine and old wineskins. Father, I pray that today we would know truth, because the truth that we know sets us free. By your power, by your word, we can be free. And so, Lord, I speak that over this body. I speak that over myself, that I would get out of the way and simply speak what you would have me to say over these four verses, that it would fall into the ears and eyes and hearts of the people and transform them more deeply into the image of your Son. And everyone said, amen and amen. So I have two ideas that I'm going to chase this morning. The first one is this. I need to address the new and the old. We need to talk that through because the title of the series, the emphasis of the series is Jesus is it. So he's going to make a very bold proclamation in these four verses. And then he's going to say, and so there is an old way of doing things and there's a new way of doing things. I am the new way. So we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to address that. Then, like I said, on the back of your notes, I'm going to very quickly move down through then this idea of fasting, 6 points on fasting, so that we can take this idea and go out today and begin to put this into practice, which I'm sure many of you are already practicing the idea of fasting, the thought processes of fasting. Let's begin. Verse number 14, number one in your notes. Jesus' disciples, blanks filled, weren't fasting, right? John's disciples show up and say, "Why? Why are your dudes not doing it like us? Why are they not doing it like the Pharisees?" What they are doing in this verse is they are comparing what they do with what others do. We compare what we do against what others are doing in order to make ourselves look good or at least feel better, I suppose. Hal has already briefly addressed this idea. He called it competitive spirituality. It was back in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus was also talking about fasting and this idea that the people that were fasting, they had their hair, you know, a mess, and they're, "Oh, I'm so hungry, and why are you not fasting like I'm fasting?" And it's already been addressed. This is a part of what these guys are doing. They're looking around and saying, "Well, why are you not doing it the way I'm doing it? I think I'm doing it really well. I mean, isn't this what we do? Don't we fast?" And yet, here's your disciples, Jesus, not doing this. Why? In verse number 15, though, Jesus addresses from a whole different angle. He addresses the question, the idea of fasting, and he moves to a celebrating and a mourning. Verse number 15, number 2 in your notes. He says to them, "Do people mourn while celebrating?" You see, because here's what happened. Here's what was going on in the old way of fasting and what the Pharisees were expecting, because that's why they said it. "We are John's disciples, and this is the way we do it, and we're doing it just like the Pharisees." I mean, they're the ones that have the corner on the market this day, and that's what's happening, and so why are you not doing that? So what was going on? This idea of this fasting and not being done, the idea of fasting back in those old days was a brokenheartedness, a desperation. They're broken over the continued sinning and continued sacrifices and come to the altar and bring your sacrifices so the Pharisees can do this and the priests can do this and we're waiting for the Messiah. There's a desperation. This is why we are fasting. That's what the disciples of John were asking. Why are you not fasting? Why are you not doing what we've always done? Jesus says, there's a celebration going on. Why would we mourn? Why would these people around me mourn when there's a celebration? Letter B in your notes, but there is no mourning for my disciples, for Jesus' disciples, because the bridegroom has come. Isaiah 62 and verse 4, Isaiah 62 and verse 4 says this. Isaiah is prophesying. And he says this in verse 4, never again will you, speaking specifically about the city of Jerusalem, but also collectively the people of Israel, never again will you be called the forsaken city, the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight, the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Do you see this coming together in verse 15? Do you see what he's chasing? We understand, right, why Jesus was crucified. He wasn't specifically crucified because he healed people on Sunday. He wasn't necessarily specifically crucified because he made the Pharisees mad and broke the Sabbath by eating grain and picking grain. Those were key components. Those were little components. The bottom line is that Jesus was crucified because he claimed to be God. Heresy. Who are you, mere man, that you would make this claim? And so right in these verses, right here, they're saying, you know, you should be fasting. Your disciples should be fasting. Why are you not like us? Why are you not like the Pharisees? I mean, these are the guys that set the standard. And Jesus says, man, because we're having a party. Because guess what? I'm here. I am the groom. I am the Messiah. My disciples are not going to mourn. This is a time of celebration. His disciples are celebrating him. Jesus is it. When was the last time that you celebrated Jesus? When was the last time I celebrated Jesus? And I don't mean to do this to like point a finger or glare over the pulpit. I'm asking a serious question. When was the last time that you celebrated? Because this is changing history. These verses, history is changing. The way things are being done is changing. Why are you not doing it the old way? And Jesus says, because the new has come. I'm the new. I'm the bridegroom. I am the Messiah. So when was the last time you and I legitimately celebrated Jesus? It's hard for me to shut my mind down. Does anybody else understand what I mean? I have a hard time stopping my thinking. My mind's going 90 miles an hour all the time. And I've had to institute into my life little things to help me, like begin to shut that down a little bit. Like I'll write myself notes and put them off to the side because I've got to stop the thinking. But how many of us, when was the last time in our mind where you spent time thinking about Jesus and today's communion meditation, all of these things of who he is, and man, you just get excited. When was the last time you stopped your stinking thinking? Because the truth that you know, the truth that you're processing in your head to fight the lies, whatever they may be, the truth that you know sets you free. So when was the last time you celebrated Jesus? You thought on the thing, you've captured your thoughts and brought them to the feet of Jesus. You've thought on these things, what is true and right and noble and good and praiseworthy. I've captured those. I'm thinking about those. I'm rejoicing in Jesus. I'm celebrating him. When was the last time in your heart, in my heart, at the core of our beings, when was the last time that we got excited about Jesus? That our hearts got happy. That we did a little dance. We broke into a smile because we allowed Jesus to build his home in our hearts through the trusting of him. So we said, not today stress, not today anxiety, not today fear, not today excitement, discouragement, but it's exciting. It's excitement. Jesus is in the house and there's a party going on. Jesus is it. That's what he's saying to them in verse number 15. Why? Why would Peter and James and John, and why would they mourn? We're at a party. And I'm it. I am the bridegroom. Hello, I'm God. Oh, put him on a cross. Man, who does this guy think he is? That's why Jesus was crucified. Because he was having a party. I am tired of asking Christians how they're doing. Number one, probably because I don't really care how they're doing, which is horrible and terrible and not very Jesus-like, number one, just being honest. But number two, asking people how they're doing, and Christians going, well, I'm okay, I guess. Well, I guess I'll make it, praise Jesus. Heaven's coming. What? Why do we have to be Eeyore Christians when we should be Tigger Christians? Put that Winnie the Pooh analogy in your notes and look at it later and think of it. Seriously, though, I love Eeyore. Eeyore's great. But Tigger makes me laugh. Tigger gets me excited. Tigger runs me over and I want to go jump with him. Jesus is it. This is what he's talking about. In verse number 15, Jesus is making a tremendous claim about himself. I am the groom. I've come, this is the wedding, let's do this. I'm gathering my bride, I am God. My authority and my power outplay the authority and power of the Pharisees. Back up to verse number 14. Why are you not being like us and the Pharisees? We're with the Pharisees. He's saying, well, come over to my side, it's a whole lot more fun. My authority and my power outplays the authority and the power of the Pharisees, he says. The Pharisees are all about rules and laws and regulations and exercising their authority over you in order to control you. I am going to fulfill all those laws and all those rules. So take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you because it's light and it's easy to bear. They are the old. I am the new. This is what's being celebrated. I am it. Jesus is it. When was the last time you and I celebrated Jesus? When was the last time you danced in the presence of God? You know, he dances over you. Zephaniah talks about it. Zephaniah talks about God up in heaven looking down upon us and getting so excited about us that in the literal translation of the Hebrew, it says he begins to spin over us as he dances over us. Man, that should light us up. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, not only is dancing over us in heaven, and that's amazing, but he literally came to earth. He's here. He was here. He was walking around and allowed himself to be crucified for us. Sacrifice. The absence, letter C in your notes, the absence of fasting within the disciples, then Peter and James and John and the 12, the absence of fasting was a witness to the presence of God in their midst. 100% man, 100% God. That's who Jesus was. 100% human, born of a woman. 100% God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Transformational. Should turn our days upside down if we really think about it, if we really chase after it, if we really take the lies of the enemy, all the crud and junk that the world throws at us that is at war with our very souls, and say, not today, not today, not tomorrow. For those of you that know, I've shared before that I teach middle school Bible, and I had one of my little middle school people, because I would do this all the time, this 100% man, 100% God. I had this little girl one day in class raise her hand. Mr. Kaler, yeah, like 100% man and 100% God doesn't make 100%, it makes 200%. Like, well, you are accurate. Thank goodness this isn't math class, this is Bible class, because we're going with it. 100% man, 100% God. She frowned, but she wrote it down in her notes and got it right on the next test. Not teasing. So number three in your blanks, number three in your blanks. So the new cloth and the new wine represent the new reality that Jesus is here. The kingdom of God is here. This is what they've been fasting for in the old times. Fasting because of just brokenness and heartbrokenness over, you know, we just can't seem to get this right. And again and again and again, we've got to be bringing these sacrifices in and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And this desperation, oh, Lord, come, Heavenly Father, come, come, Messiah. And then the Messiah shows up and they want to wonder why he's not fasting. Doesn't it sound just like us? Like, looking around going, at least I'm better than that person. Jesus is it. Now, I understand, as we move into 16 and 17, and this whole idea of the new cloth and the new wine and the old wineskins and the old cloth, I understand. Please don't be sitting out there going, come on, Jason, you know, this isn't just about fasting. I get that. Overarching the new versus the old, this idea that Jesus is talking about encompasses far more than just fasting, but we're addressing these four verses. These are the four verses Hal told me to talk about. So that's where we're staying, okay? It encompasses all the ideas that Christ brought to the forefront. But Jesus says at the end of verse number 15, but he does say that the groom will be taken away and then they will fast. You see, people have tried to use verse number 15 to get rid of fasting. I mean, if Jesus didn't do it, then we don't have to do it. And then you say, well, but it says at the end that 15 that, you know, that they will begin fasting. Well, that just meant like for the 3 days that he was like in the tomb, they had to fast for those 3 days. And, you know, once he came back to life, no more fasting. That's not what he's talking about. He's setting a new precedent, a new idea. So why do we fast today? The bridegroom has left. He is physically gone, but has promised to return. He's promised to return and gather up his bride, his church, his followers, and take them home. So yes, we are in the new time expressed in verses 16 and 17, but we are still in the tension of the end of 15, a time of fasting. Not fasting in the old way of mourning. The old wineskins of Judaism cannot contain the new wine of the kingdom. The new wine is a part of the mystery of the bridegroom. The bridegroom has come. That's what Jesus is saying. The groom is here. They get it. They're celebrating. They're not going to mourn. So the mourning and the brokenness, the desperation of the old fasting is not what the new fasting will look like. The Redeemer has finished the work. He has been revealed by his resurrection, and he is giving his grace presently throughout this historic time. Jesus is it. The bridegroom has struck the decisive blow against sin, against the brokenness and desperation of Satan's power. Jesus is it. The wine is new. The lamb has been slain. The blood has been shed. Death is defeated. The groom has risen. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The old fasting mindset is simply not adequate because Jesus is it. So today we fast in the new reality. We fast because we hunger for fullness. We fast because we hunger for healing. We fast because we hunger for wholeness, for victory, for unity, for grace. We fast because we hunger for peace, for blessings, for life, for love, for hope, for joy. Basically, what we're saying is we are fasting, Holy Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. We are fasting because we hunger for you. Jesus, you are it. This is the celebration. This is why we do it. No more brokenness. No more desperation. The victory's been won. Jesus is it. He is the bridegroom, come to sacrifice and promise to return. This message today, don't have the time, ultimately, to go over all the ideas of fasting and what it is and what it isn't, and maybe Hal and I should get together at some point and write a series on fasting. Because it could be a series. 6, 7, 8 weeks long. This message today, this topic, this theme, is more about Jesus declaring himself as the groom. But I would be remiss, having now walked you through verses 16 and 17, the old cloth and the new cloth doesn't going to work. The new wine and the old wineskins, none going to work. To walk you through the back of the notes, just giving you a few ideas so that when we walk out of here today, if fasting is not a regular part of your life, some spiritual purposes of why it should be a regular part of our lives. Not because John's disciples did it and the Pharisees did it, but because Jesus talked about it. Because Jesus showed up and changed the way we do things. So over on the back of your notes, did we get everything, by the way, in the first part? Are there any blanks on the first part that you guys... Some people are shaking their heads no, some are shaking their heads yes, which means you'd have a pencil and then you weren't really listening, or you got so trapped in my melodious voice that I... No. We're ready for the back? All right, here we go. Again, please hear me say that this is more of just the go and do. I don't know how regular any of you particularly fast, but it should be a regular part of our everyday lives. And I don't mean to fast from fasting. Probably a lot of us are really good at that. Thank you for the few of you that chuckled. I appreciate that. First of all, let me say this, because this seems to be one of the quickest outs there is. Notice that both of my hands are on the pulpit. I'm not pointing at anyone. And I don't see any of you. I'm not looking at anyone. But this seems to be one of the fastest outs of fasting. Is that, well, I can't fast from food. I just can't. I'm doing this. I have this. I do this. I work. I have this. You realize and you recognize, right, that fasting does not have to be about food. Okay? So number one, right straight away, let's put that one aside. Can it be about food? Absolutely, 100%. I realize that that's what the Bible is talking about all the time, but they didn't have TVs back then. So, just a thought. Okay? So just straight up, fasting does not have to be about food. I shared with you in the beginning that a family in the church that we were at, they decided the 21 days from TV, and it was transformational for them, for the family. Number one in your notes in the back, spiritual purposes for fasting. Oh, that's fantastic. I've lost my time back on the screen. That means I have unlimited time. Excellent. Excellent. Amber, don't put that back up there now. You blew it, and now I'm... No, I will not. Thank you, though. Number one, Jesus instructs us to fast. Number one, Jesus instructs us. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 18. We've already talked about that a little bit in the message here. That's where he's talking about fasting on a much broader deal. But it starts off by saying, Jesus' words, when you fast. Not if you fast, or if you're thinking about it. It says when you do. So again, he is saying here at the end of verse 15 in our passage today, when I'm gone, they're going to start fasting again. And so when you do fast, so Jesus tells us to. If potentially for no other reason that we should embark on this, it's because our Lord and Savior instructs us to. Then let's do it. And it's going to look different for everybody. Number two, need God's direction. We fast because we need God's direction. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, the church has gathered and they're getting ready to send out missionaries and they want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them and what that is supposed to look like. And verse number one is this list of names. I think the last name in the list is Saul. So this is even before Saul changes his name to Paul, very early in the beginning of the church. And it says in verses 2 and 3 that they begin praying and praising and fasting, and the Holy Spirit instructs them, here's who we want to go out. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, collectively, here's who we want to go out, Saul and Barnabas. And so they lay their hands on them in verse number 3, and they pray over them, and as the bidding of the Holy Spirit, they send out Saul and Barnabas to begin the very first missionary journey of the book of Acts. It just seems like if it was important to these guys as they're getting the ball rolling, it probably then should be important to us in finding out what God wants us to do, where he wants us to go, how he wants us to proceed. Part of that for them was fasting. Number three is worship, our being and our doing. Our being and our doing. Our being is at the core of who we are, the depths of who we are, and our being then comes out of us in our doing. The problem is that we get our doing gets way ahead of our being, and then we get exasperated, and we get frustrated, and we get exhausted, and we lose track, and because we've lost who our being is. And so at the core of who we are, at the worship, fasting plays a part in worship, in this idea of humbling ourselves before God. Are there other ways that we can humble ourselves before God? Absolutely, for sure, 100%. But fasting is an example of this, where we can humble ourselves. I need you, Jesus. You are it. I want you, Jesus. You are it. I trust you, Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, part of the prayer that Paul prays is that Jesus will build his home in us, in our hearts. He'll build his home as we trust in him more and more. Fasting will play a part in that. Jesus, you are it. We are proving to you, we are showing you that we will not be enslaved by these things. You fill in that blank, whatever you want, whatever you're going to fast from. I'm going to be not enslaved by food. I did a fast one time, I forget, it was like a 7-day fast or something like that, where I gave up. Are you ready? All I gave up was snacks. That's it. I ate my breakfast, I ate my lunch, ate my dinner, but no more snacks. Can I tell you for the first 2 or 3 days, like how much it became apparent to me that I snack? Just pick, just graze. Just at the cupboard like this. And those chips and crackers, they would just come right off the shelf and lightly set themselves down on the counter and miraculously open and just start coming into my... No, I reached up and got them because I was snacking. And was I hungry? No, of course I wasn't hungry. You don't snack because you're hungry. You snack because you're an American. How about TV? How about video games? I don't play video games at all. I just really never have. My kids play them like crazy. My boys play them tons. And some of you adults do as well. It's just great. But, you know, what about video games? How about the phone? Did you know that you can look into your phone and find like a screen time? What? Yeah, it's like in the settings or something like that, and it will show you how much screen time you're doing. And did you know that there's a little button down in there somewhere? Stop it. Yep, it's true. There's a little button down there that you can like turn your phone down and like not get notifications. What? My phone might stop beeping and ringing and I have to... I think it's interesting. I don't know how it does it for you, but my phone, here's the amount of screen time you've used happens every Sunday morning about 20 minutes before the service starts. I'm like, God, is that you, or do you have my number? How about social media? I know for Hal, he has said this many times, that when he does, when we do the Lent leading to Easter, or Resurrection Day, whatever you want to call it, social media is a big one that he stops during that time. Social media. One of the things that I do during that time, again, just be for me, because it's a lot of are sports and news. I don't look at any sports and I don't look at any news for that time leading up to Resurrection Day. How about hobbies? I had a friend who was an artist. I struggle with stick people, so that wouldn't categorize for me as an artist. But she sketched, she drew, she painted, it was kind of her release and her... And so she would take time where she would step away from her being an artist. And so anytime that she would kind of feel that draw or what, she would turn and focus on the word or something or prayer or whatever. How about music? We are a society that needs the constant noise. Constant noise. How many of you sleep with music on? How many of you sleep with things going and all that kind of stuff? I sleep with a fan going. Does that count? Fast from my fan, maybe? But seriously, but music. I mean, if that's a big part of your life, would you be willing to fast that for a day or two or a week? I told you we'd do the 21-day fast at the church that my wife and I pastored years back. We asked the congregation to, and I had a guy come to me one time and say that he really liked the idea, and he was going to do it. He was going to, you ready for this? He was going to fast from speeding. So I said, well, good for you. That's excellent. Well done. It's illegal, you know. And he was like, what? Yeah, I just was like, well, you know what? Fine. We got a lot of young believers. That's good. Good for you. And then I got a little concerned when somebody else, like a week later, came and said, hey, did you know so-and-so's fasting from speeding? That is an excellent idea. I'm going to do the same. Like, okay. Note, next message series, speeding. Number four, fasting. Spiritual purpose for fasting, number four, is that it kills idols. There is powerful breakthrough and spiritual warfare that goes on while you're fasting. You are denying something. You are saying no to something and yes to God. Guess what? The enemy and the world, they don't like that. They want you to be involved with them, siding with them. Now, you can sit there all day long and say, oh, Jason, I don't ever side with Satan. Okay. I mean, seriously, if you've fallen into that trap and you think you're all good on that, I will pray that changes in your thought process. Because if you are really willing to evaluate your day-to-day activities and what you're thinking on and blah, 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 Satan rattles your cage and itches your itch a whole lot more than we probably give him credit for. But at the same time, it's just the world we live in. And so sometimes we give Satan more credit than he deserves because we're just dumb. And we just do dumb things. So fasting says no. Fasting says, I'm not going to do this for X amount of time, a day, one meal, snacks for a week, I don't know. And when I feel that urge, when I feel that sense, when I feel that go-to, I change and I'm going to go to this. I'm going to spend time with you, Heavenly Father. I'm going to spend time in your word. I've made up some things I want to pray about and talk to you about. Which then leads me to number five. Number five, we fast oftentimes or sometimes for intercession. We fast because we're interceding on behalf of people, on behalf of situations, on behalf of what's going on. We are preparing that time to go right to the throne of God and talk to him about it. Now let me say this, and this would be a part of a much larger series. Please remember this in all of this. God owes us nothing. So don't ever try to play that card. Hey, you remember that time I fasted? He's going to go, yeah. Okay, so God doesn't owe us anything. So this is not a, we're going to balance out the scales and, whew, Father, I'm kind of noticing that I'm way up on the scale and you're a little low. It doesn't work like that. This is about us humbling ourselves before the creator of the universe, who really, in reality, if the only thing he ever did was show up as the bridegroom and save us, well, then that's pretty much done deal. But he is all about blessing us and showing us his grace and his favor. I am the bridegroom. Why in the world would my disciples be mourning? This is a time of celebration. It's not about dickering with God to see how I got one up on you. Yeah, he doesn't owe us anything. I'm humbling myself before you because these people in my life aren't saved, and I would like them to be saved because these people are going, this relationship is a bust, and Father, I'm just presenting the relationship to you because you're the one. I'm celebrating in healing and victory and wholeness. That's what I'm doing. Not to create a situation where you owe me something. And the last one, number six, remembrance and reflection. Remembrance and reflection. I told you that we did a beginning of the year 21-day fast. And we gave the people tons of ideas of things they could fast from. Just do a Daniel fast, do that. But let's collectively, as a group, let's remember and reflect and talk to God about this coming year. One that we do here is the one during Lent. That Hal stands in front of us and says, would you please join me in this time as we remember and reflect on the upcoming resurrection celebration. Celebration, there it is, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I get you. I do. That we hear fasting and we talk about fasting, or we get into the middle of a fast and we're like, man, this stinks. I'm hungry. I miss my Yankees. That'd be New York Yankees, that would be. Sorry. I get that. But you got to remember, we're not like John's disciples and the Pharisees. We're not fasting to mourn and out of desperation. We're fasting out of celebration. We are celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, the Messiah, the Savior, who has already won the victory, has already brought us to freedom. This is what we are celebrating. So the go and do. The last little part there at the bottom of your notes, the last thing. Did we get all six? Did I fill the six in? Did we get that? Yes. Last part, and I'm done. We'll ask the altar team, you can go ahead and get ready. I'll call you up in just a second. So my thought is this. Tomorrow's July 1st. Half the year is done. Would you be willing to do a little fast tomorrow? For those of you that are like, whew, I haven't fasted in quite some, would you be willing to do tomorrow? To talk about the rest of the month, the rest of the year with God? Then maybe move to one day a week? A meal? But let's get started. Let's do this. Let's celebrate, because Jesus is it. Altar team, you may go ahead and come. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for declaring that you are the bridegroom. You are the new. And no, the old ways of doing things will not be able to contain, Jesus, what you have accomplished. And we thank you for that. And so we don't fast out of drudgery and obligation and misery and desperation and brokenness. We fast out of celebration. We are celebrating you, Jesus. You are it. And so, Jesus, I speak your healing, your wholeness, your truth over the people today. I speak that freedom over them in your name. That all the lies of the enemy, all the lies we've told ourselves, they would be broken. And we would live in that freedom, and we would operate in that freedom, and we would live our own lives, and then we would let that spill out, those blessings spill out into the lives of those around us. We are blessed to be a blessing. In your name I pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you need prayer this morning, the altar teams are up here. They would love to meet with you and love to pray with you. Could be for yourself, could be for family or friends or other situations. But if you are going to head out, we ask that you would please head out into the lobby before you begin talking and all that, just to leave it quiet in here for the prayer teams and the people that need prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. First week of July. And hey, fast tomorrow. See what happens. Love you guys. See ya.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Word.